Yeah, hi everyone. I'm Parth Chadha. I am the founder and CEO at Stan. Excited to be here.
The generation that my child belongs to no longer looks at science or medicine as aspirational career choices. Rather, the most aspirational career choice for them is to be a content creator, a YouTuber, or an influencer. In fact, my child is already saying, "Don't forget to like and subscribe when I record his videos." But as things stand today, being an influencer is like wanting to be a Bollywood star. Millions aspire to be it, but very few are actually able to make it. And either you make it or you live a life of struggle and poverty. However, unlike the previous generation, today you can be a mini influencer with just 1,002 fans, and thanks to platforms like Stan, you can also start to monetize. Parth Chadha built Stan as a platform to bring together gaming fans and content creators and allows creators to monetize their fan base. If you want to get a glimpse into the future of the influencer economy, then this episode of The Founder Thesis is a must listen.
Like, you know, what's an elevator pitch of Stan?
Okay, you put me in a tough spot, but that's like the usual one. So yeah, Stan is basically a gamer's companion app. Gamers basically come and engage with each other, with their favorite YouTubers. They can play, collect, earn on the platform. So it's more like a Discord plus. For the gamers. So we are essentially solving the problem of like gamers lacking sense of belongingness and connecting them with their favorite KOLs and YouTubers.
Describe the platform to me. What does the app look like? What's the look and feel of it? What's the user experience of it?
So basically, it's a mobile app. You will find it on the Play Store and App Store. Currently, we are trending on number 4, by the way, on the Play Store. So Stan, you download it because either you play, you know, these games like BGMI, which is PUBG Mobile, Free Fire, Call of Duty, or you watch some of these famous YouTubers on YouTube, which just play games and have fun. So that's the reason you download Stan. And then when you come to the platform, you have a, you know, you see multiple features there. So you either, you know, collect these cards, which are trump cards of your favorite YouTubers. And through that, you get access to audio rooms, like, you know, like the sense of Clubhouse or Twitter Spaces, right? So you get to talk to your favorite YouTubers, and you can launch custom game lobbies from that. Let's say I and you want to play a game, quick game of PUBG Mobile with our favorite YouTuber. For example, let's say Jonathan, who is like the big guy who's got like 10 million subscribers, right? So that can happen on Stan. And while all that happens, you can engage with the other gamers. There are fan rooms, there are, you know, chat rooms. Then there's a unique place where you can collect and buy gaming codes. So NetNet, it's like a community platform for gamers where you can typically, you know, get involved in all the things which a gamer goes through in his, you know, daily life.
These rooms are what? Are they like Facebook groups or? So no, again, you know, I have all, not used Discord also. So
okay, becomes slightly difficult. Got it. Yeah. So it's basically you, it's like you, me and, you know, bunch of other gamers, we are on Stan on this custom clubs called Stan Clubs, where it's, let's say, labeled as play BGMI and have fun, right? So let's say 70 of us are in that club, and the hoster, which could be either you, me, or it could be a famous YouTuber, he drops in some messages and custom game room ID, where if we use that in the game of PUBG, we can jump in the same room and all of us can play together in the game of PUBG, right? So basically, the community thing happens on Stan. The gameplay happens on the respective game apps, right? And everything apart from community, like just playing, like you can follow your favorite creator, you can gift the creator, you can basically buy his collectibles on the app, And if you buy and upgrade his collectible, you get a signed jersey or a meet and greet, or you can even earn game codes, redeem codes. So in a gamer's life, there are a lot of rewards which are very fascinating, right? Like it could be fan rewards. Like I'm a big fan of some guy. I can actually get a chance to play with him. Or it could be game rewards. Like it could be game currencies, like PUBG's own currencies, Free Fire diamonds, Google Play redeem codes. Or it could be like, you know, cash rewards by participating in tournaments, right? So all these rewards and that sense of belongingness that, hey, you know, I am friends with Akshay and we both are on Stan and we chat with each other and play with each other. That community, the sense of belongingness is what Stan is helping in the gamer's life.
So when you're actually playing PUBG, at that time, you can have your community within PUBG only, right? Like you can talk to other people who are playing PUBG with you.
But if you want to do a custom game room with your YouTuber, all that features are not in the game right now, right? And also you can make more friends on the Stan platform. You can do a bunch of other stuff by apart from just playing, right?
Oh, so you can discover a community, basically.
Exactly.
Discover other fans.
You can play, chat, meet, you know, bunch of stuff. Yeah. Mm, I mean, we've kind of, you know, elevated the experience of communities in gaming. That's what I would say in one line.
Why is this an investable business? If I were a VC, you know, what would be your pitch to me as a VC? Why is this a venture backable business?
Oh, great question. I mean, the day we started, we had to get answered to this question because either it's an investable VC business or it's like a bootstrap model we go ahead with, right? So see, India itself has 500 million gamers and beyond that, right? And it's growing very rapidly. So market is pretty huge and global market is a lot more than that and a lot more mature, right? And India is on a very interesting standpoint right now where gaming has become our lifestyle, right? And so I have seen that the gaming industry has seen multiple waves. Earlier, we used to be called as the DAU farms, right? That let's say India is mainly users. You don't see users buying and playing and paying us, right? But now you see there's so much, you know, so many interesting avenues where people are spending money in the game, right? Like in-app purchase business has become so successful that like we've seen like $700 million in India just from non-RMG games on the Play Store. So it's
RMG? So
RMG is basically real money gaming. So gaming has different buckets, right? So net-net, what I'm trying to say is the market is pretty huge. It's close to like $3 billion in, you know, in the market size today in India. And it's growing very rapidly at more than 40% CAGR, right?
So $3 billion, what is this number?
$3 billion is like a cumulative sum of, you know, the
money
spent in the gaming world, be it any kind of games in India, right? And this could be across categories, across avenues, like it could be platform, it could be game, it could be like all those places where people are spending money, right? So big market, good business, and rapidly growing. So these are something which VC loves, right? And this could, so Stan could be like a $1 billion idea, and that's what we are chasing. And whoever comes and invests right now would get a good multiple as we keep growing rapidly. So definitely it's a very interesting investable business.
What are the gaming categories? So you spoke of real money gaming as one category. What else? Help me understand the ecosystem.
Yeah. So typically it's bucketed into esports, which is like games like which are played for the medal, which have multiplayer and, you know, streaming. So like the likes of BGMI, Free Fire, Call of Duty, Valorant, Dota. Then there are games like real money gaming, which is the likes of poker, Rummy, Fantasy, like skill-based, people are putting in money. Then hyper-casual is a good category where you see games like Ludo, Carom, Flappy Bird, Farmville, right? And then there could be time killer games, strategy games, where, you know, Time Killer is like just, you know, spending time on the game, like 2048, which could be like an overlap with hyper casual. And strategy is something like where you need to build your, you know, things in the game, like Roblox or, you know, GTA and stuff like that, right? So these are different sort of genres which we see. And obviously then this could be further bucketed into FPS, MMORPG, and
just give me the full forms of these.
Like FPS is first person shooting games, right? So basically
BGMI is FPS.
BGMI is FPS, right? And then, you know, there are like various sort of games where you would see like different categories should define these games. But net, which I have given you is, role-playing games is part of esports as well, right? MMORPG, which I was talking about. So online games. And all these games could have an offline version, could have an online version, right? Online is when you play with the multiplayer, somebody sitting in Delhi is playing with somebody in Bangalore, right? So stuff like that.
Okay, got it. So I'm assuming that real money gaming, hyper-casual gaming, none of these need a fan engagement platform. Because, I mean, there's no deep engagement with the hyper-casual game. There's no deep engagement with real money
it
gaming.
It totally depends.
In it for if the it, money. I mean,
if somebody is streaming the game and people are liking that guy or, you know, the that streamer like to watch him, like for example a casual game like Among Us, which is like as simple as Mafia, which we used to play in real life, right? Like villager, thief, doctor sort of roles, right? Which you assign and then you have to figure out who's what. So that game is like Among Us and it's a very hyper casual, but there are content creators, YouTubers who are streaming that game and I'm watching it for fun. So I could be a big fan of that game and that streamer, right? So there's fan engagement on an individual level and also on a game level as well. So if I could be a big fan of Ludo and I could be part of the Ludo community, right? And there could be guys who are like streaming Ludo and having fun, right? So it totally depends on how we are looking at it.
But what does your data tell you? What kind of games see engagement on Stan?
Oh, I mean, we've got a very big community on PUBG Mobile, Free Fire, Valorant, and we do see hyper-casual games like Among Us, Pokemon Unite. I mean, these are the names which you will see content creators on YouTube, which are live streaming these games or putting videos and content around it. So these are like some of the very popular titles in Indian market.
So I'm guessing then a key asset for you is to get the creators on the platform. Like if you get creators, the fans will come automatically.
It's one of it. I mean, last year, obviously, when we just started, we were building our brand that, you know, people to know what is Stan exactly. And now, and that's when we onboarded a lot of creators, the top tier ones. But now there's a very big long tail of creators who want to come and partner with us. Because there are two stakeholders in the entire Stan's ecosystem. One is the gamer himself and the other is the creator. And this gamer could become a creator as well, right? Creator makes money, gamer spends money, right? And or gamer earns the rewards, which I was talking about, like fan rewards, game rewards, and so on and so forth. Because creators are getting a chance to monetize very early, which they are not getting on any other platform in gaming, typically they do YouTube, right? And YouTube does not help them monetize day one. But Stan, you can just start a club on Stan app and you can start monetizing with maybe just like 30 fans of yours. So that is one big reason why these guys come to Stan organically now. And we have like a very strong partnership with 500 odd creators in gaming. I mean, there's a very long tail of 1,000 plus creators, which are looking forward to onboarding on Stan. But we are very selective at the moment. And we have like all the top guys, mid-core guys on the platform. And yes, you are right to some extent that if the big guys come, the big creators come, they bring their fans. And that's the announcements which come out on the platform and on our social media. And that brings us a lot of gamers on the platform.
What's the pitch to a gamer? You said a gamer can start earning from day one with just 30 fans. Help me understand what is it that allows
you're talking
you
about the creator?
The creator.
So basically, there are clubs on the app, right? On the clubs, I can have ticketed experiences. Like I could just put a ticket to the club, which could be a card, it could be like a token or NFT. Totally depends on the creator, right? Through that, if somebody buys that, they get a chance to talk and play in a custom game room with that guy, right? So that sort of revenue goes to the creator, right? And then the creator can obviously unlock more and more stuff. Like he or she can sell more, things. Or like if he's launching a merch, he can, you know, talk about that on his club. He can list his digital collectibles on the platform, right? So he can also grow his other communities through Stan, right? And these are certain ways where these creators are really looking at monetizing through the platform. Okay. And I can tell you some numbers. Like it's been like an year of us being operating in the market, and we are close to 3 million plus gamers on the platform, with close to 300 odd creators which are live on the platform. And these creators have earned or made money close to 250k, 300k US dollars in the last 1 year, and that's pretty huge number if you calculate, because today creators just have like YouTube ads as the premium, you know, earning model, and the ads come in favor of you if you crack the algorithm, track your YouTube dashboard and things like that. And there's no micro ticketing. I cannot charge my, let's say if I have a big fan who wants to give me, let's say, like $1,000, I could quickly make that money on Stan. I could launch something very exclusive. Like there are cards on the platform which can actually give you a live meet and greet, like a in real life experience. So there are some fans which actually got to meet the top esports players through Stan. And that have been very revolutionizing. Like those videos have been pretty viral, like 5 million views, 6 million views. And you would actually see fans, getting a hug with these esports players, touching their feet. In fact, like they're like very big, admirers of these YouTubers, because these guys have become the next gen celebrities, right? And the younger generation, the Gen Zs and millennials, are relating more with these guys as compared to the sports athletes and, you know, Bollywood celebrities, right? And gaming is now much more larger than entertainment and, you know, Bollywood, right? That's what even Mr. Mukesh Ambani has quoted, that this is going to overtake whatever we have.
What are the kind of digital merchandise that they can sell? So one is, you're saying a ticket, which is essentially a buy-in for an experience. It could be a gaming experience. It could be a real life experience. And then you spoke of other digital merchandise like NFTs.
Like you could sell any collectible, which could be coupled with anything exclusive, right?
Like
let's say you can launch Akshay's card, which will give you a signed sneakers, like if you launch your sneakers brand, or it could give you time with Akshay, like you and me chatting as a fan and a creator, right? It could give me a live match with you. It could give me a real life meet and greet, right? And it could give me what else, like a signed merchandise, jersey, and so on and so forth, right? So there are a lot of things, and the creator decides what he or she could sell to the fans, right? And obviously there is a lot of economic play on the platform, which is driven through the Stan coins, which is our way of monetizing. And the share of the coins which are directly linked to you as a creator goes to you. So that's how the entire model works on the platform.
Help me understand this Stan coins model.
I mean, we are monetizing already. We are not a community or a social media platform which is not making money, right? We were very straightforward and upfront that we need to build a business here. So we thought, what's the best way to sort of create wedges and avenues to make money as a business? So we launch a platform currency called Stan Coins day one, and that's your entry point to do anything on the app. So you as a gamer or a user would buy Stan Coins. With the coins, you can buy those tickets, those cards, collectibles, custom game lobbies and so on and so forth, right? And those coins get circulated, and I could sell you my collectible as well. You can trade these cards with me on the app, right? And that's how the coin even rotates, and it's like a simple in-game currency model, right? Like, for example, if you're playing Clash Royale, which is a very popular game, you buy those currencies and you keep on spending, and then at some point you feel, okay, I need to buy more, and then you buy more, right? So it's a community platform with a platform currency called Stancoins, which app actually helps the entire economy to be driven on the app.
So Stancoins are the only currency. Like, if I want to buy a digital collectible or anything, I will pay through Stancoins.
Yes. So that's a centralized currency, one unified model where we are using.
And what is it, like 1 rupee, one Stancoin, or what is
10 coins for 1 rupees.
Okay. And do you have to pay the Google Play Store tax on this?
Yeah, like obviously. Google charges 30%. Yes, that's inevitable, and we have to go. And obviously, I mean, it's a lot, and that kind of discussions are already, underway, that Google and, Indian government is sort of, I think Supreme Court has challenged that, and they have started an alternative billing where you can get a discounted billing close to like 15% odd if you opt for that. But Google Play Store gives a lot of distribution to us. I mean, that solves a lot, because like we are trending on number 4 on the Play Store, right? And that brings a lot of users to us who are gamers. I think and there's a lot of trust that comes when the app is on the Play Store. And it's like top rated, and like the ratings are good. So we are okay to shell some percentage to Google on that.
Okay, interesting. I'll come back to this. There is a recent development of Epic versus Google. I would want to hear that from you. But yeah, okay, got it. So a big fan of a game will essentially come on the platform. They will buy Stancoins to do in-app purchases. It could be digital collectibles of the people that they admire. Essentially, is that only, right? People that they admire, they buy digital.
Yeah. And also tickets. The coins help them to sort of engage with other gamers on the app. So net, play with other gamers, play with your favorite creators, engage.
Why do you need coins to play with other gamers?
I mean, there could be a custom game room where there's entry through the coins, right?
And then you
need to put it. Yeah.
Okay, got it. So somebody could create a game and charge people to play in it. Okay,
yes,
understood.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Okay, and so that the Stancoins, what kind of spends come to you, and what kind of spends go to creators? Like, if I'm buying a digital collectible,
it's totally dependent. Creator to creator and content to content, it varies big time. I mean, there could be objects or SKUs where the creator gets directly 30%. There could be like even 50%. Totally depends on what kind of SKU is being launched, and creator also, right? Like if it's a big creator, what kind of percentages we sign. Some of them are not on percentage basis. Some of them are like, minimum guarantee that Stan is going to pay them, and they give X kind of deliverables across the partnership and exclusivities and so on and so forth. So it's a very mix and match model right now.
Let's say for a small time creator who's not a big celebrity,
it could be even 50-50. Like, you as a creator could make 50% on the entire purchases which has happened through you, or your collectibles which are launched on the Stan platform, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about like someone creates a game room and you have to use coins? Do they get anything there?
I mean, let's say you and I we are playing together, and so we will take a cut. Rest goes to the guy who creates the game pool.
Okay. Yeah, understood. Yeah. What is the split between people who are gamers versus people who go beyond playing and do stuff like watching other gamers live stream, and that level of fandom So what is the split there?
I mean, there's no, there's a grade overlap. What happens is these guys are consuming gaming, let's say 7-8 hours average in a week also, right? Like they have some favorite YouTubers who are watching, and some of these guys are really super involved, who are like super fans, who would watch each and every stream of these guys, right? And there are just gamers who are like casual gamers. Obviously, that would be, let's say, close to 30-40% of the entire gaming audience who would just play. Let's say I'm a guy who would just play and not watch, right? And then there could be a situation where I really like the creator and I would watch his streams. So it's a very mixed and overlap thing. But people actually are very much inclined towards learning, either learning game or having fun by watching it, right? So it's a totally different motivation for a gamer to sort of consume the content. Yeah.
Let's say, you know, if there are, let's say, 100 million gamers for these esports kind of games, the more involved ones, out of that, would you say like 10 or 20 million would also be doing this deep level of fandom where they are watching?
Oh, it's a lot more than that. I think in India, if I tell you, like, I can give you like a ballpark figure where, let's say, PUBG Mobile clocks 25 million monthly active users. So you could say that 5 to 10 odd would have watched at least one stream of these games online on YouTube. And that's just one game I'm talking about. So if you look at all the other games, I think there would be a base of close to, 30-40 million users in India who are actually actively consuming gaming content. It could be any sort of content.
Okay. And yeah, because in games, you typically end up doing in-app purchases. So this audience is easier to monetize because they're already doing in-app purchases. So it is not a far stretch for them to do an in-app purchase on Stan.
There are motivations which drive in-app purchase, right? If you are hitting the right use case, people will pay you, right? Like the social angle, the creator and fan angle, I think definitely wants gamers to spend, right? Or if it's helping them win more rewards, which could help them in the journey, then it also helps them a lot. Let's say if I want to buy something in a game of PUBG, I need... So I can actually buy it by using redeem codes, Google Play redeem codes. And if I can win those redeem codes on Stan, it's a big win for me as a gamer. So it's sort of enabling his entire, economy in the gaming life.
And how do you win redeem codes on Stan?
Oh, you play the contest, you play these custom game rooms. Like the prize pools have these game codes and redeem codes as the for the gamers.
So are you integrated with the games where you can get to
some
know
of
who
them?
Won?
Some of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of them have given us APIs. Some of them, it's more like a manual work which we have.
So like your team will validate who won and then.
Yeah.
Okay. And the ones which have given you APIs, what do you get as a result of the API?
Well, everything. We have your data, we have what kind of games you have played in a day, how much have you won, what kills or parameters, whichever are related to the game, we'll get everything with your game ID.
And those could go on my profile for bragging. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. That's also one big thing which these guys get, a unified game profile in Stan. Like you could actually see your PUBG profile, your Free Fire profile and badges. You get badges for achieving certain milestones in the games.
Okay.
So it's net an ecosystem play for a gamer, right? That the helping a gamer's life evolve.
Understood. And what is the value of Stan coins sold till date?
I can't give you my financial numbers right now. We are run rating at $2 million ARR. That's something which I can disclose. So, and predominantly it's through the coins itself.
That would be the only, like, largely coins. There's nothing else, right?
Yeah, it's just, yeah, yeah. Nothing else.
Okay. So this year you'll sell about 2.5, something like that, million worth of coins.
Yeah.
This financial year. Okay. Interesting. And where is your audience? Is it an India-based app primarily, or
currently in India? Yeah.
Okay. Are there comparable companies in the West?
Not really. I mean, there's Discord. There's the games itself. There will be community apps, tournament apps, but not what Stan is building as such. We don't see that exactly coming out.
A community app would be similar to Stan, right? Except, yeah, but you're also allowing them to...
the creator and fan angle, the custom game rooms, I think these are not existing. Like, this is something unique inside, which we saw through YouTube super chats and YouTube chats on the live stream. People wanted to play with the guy. People wanted to, you know, they were ready to spend some money to get into the same game, right? And this was going across the chats of these creators. And I and my team, the leadership team at Stan, like, I'm very fortunate to have some really amazing co-founders with me. And we were part of this ecosystem from long. We used to work with these creators very closely in our past experiences. And we could see, like, their fans and gamers wanting to spend to sort of create, and also lacking that sense of belongingness, that they want to make friends, they want to connect. Apart from just the game, they have a life after the game, which is a social life. So these are the things which we felt that there's a very unique proposition which can be played upon. And if you would build it into a business, like, it's bingo. Like, that's where we started up in the first place.
Tell me about the journey of building Stan. So this is not your first venture, right?
No, it's not my first. So quick intro, it's been like 7 years for me in the gaming space itself. Started as a dev in 2012-13, my college days. I used to build hyper-casual games.
You would build and publish them under your name or as a
freelancer. I used give games to whoever's looking for hyper casual, beat platforms. Like, I have given games to Flipkart when they want to do some gamification on their platform, right? So that's how I started, with basic HTML5 Cocos 2D sort of engines, where I would code hyper casual games with, because gamification was exciting. It had just got started. And then I built a large game, which was a very interesting IP, basically a fusion of sports and a very popular game called Bingo, which is Housey or Tambola in, like, different regions of India. So kind of connected these two things together and built a very unique game. I sold it to a platform. They went ahead and made it live in a very small, feeling. I can't give you the name, but a very large OTT player bought it. And that's when I started feeling that this is something exciting to build on as a category, right? After that, I built and scaled my first gaming venture, which was like proper venture. Evor Games. It was a real money gaming platform.
This quit your job to do this? Like, I can see on your LinkedIn, you were with JP Morgan Chase.
Yes, I did. I did a stint for 3 years at JP. Very interesting time. As a coder, as a software developer, I built some really exciting features and things in the bank, but very boring job, because you know how the banks operate, and coming from a gamer's ecosystem and excitement was always on the peak, and I could see that gaming industry in India was picking up big time. I used to, like, chat on LinkedIn with a lot of these leaders from the various companies in gaming, and fantasy, poker, rummy were obviously the poster boys, right? And cash cows as well. Like, people were scaling businesses big time. So my obvious choice was to look at sports and gaming together. That's where I started the first game, which I built, called Crick Bingo, Cricket and Bingo, or Run Bola. We had, like, trademarked these two things and sold the game to an OTT player, and then Then I realized that something...
You built a gaming studio, basically, which was making games for whoever was ready to pay.
So it was just me and my co-founder back then, which this is the first game I'm talking about, right? And then, like, we realized there's something called as game of chance and game of skill, which was something very interesting, which we learned over a period of time by, you know, sort of understanding.
Why is this distinction important, game of chance versus game of skill?
Because it is really, I mean, in as per Indian government, you cannot run wagering or, let's say, money in, money out on game of chance. That is pure gambling, right? Typical example is, let's say, betting, sports betting, or teen patti, which is not a game of skill. It is pure luck. And if you put in money, you are like sort of promoting gambling. And in India, it was not something which was very, like, it was not allowed, right? And the bingo, which is housey or tambola, is sort of a game of chance, right? So we had to now realize that how do we make it a game of skill, right? And then we built, then I started my first journey, like first company big time called Evor Games in 2019, after JP and all my, you know, freelancing gigs. And that was a real money gaming platform of skill games. That's when I really, you know, got my hands dirty with understanding the RMG, user base and market, how the distribution channels work, how what's the user's insights, how do we actually scale it big time. There were a lot of interesting learnings and takeaways from this business.
I want to understand this real money gaming space a little better. So how did you, first of all, how did you make bingo from a game of chance to a game of skill?
We were not successful fully there, but I can quickly explain the game. So let's say there's a match of cricket where there's, let's say, IPL, RCB versus KKR, and RCB is batting. So Virat and Chris Gayle are playing, and they would hit a six. And six is the number which comes as a bingo number, and you need to strike off if you have it in your ticket. Okay, so that's the link, how the thing happened. Now, to put in the skill, we added a trivia. Like, the moment you strike off the number, we would count it, valid if you actually answer a question, which could be a GK thing, like Shole mein Gabbar kaun tha, or Virat's maximum runs. But it was like just to, you know, plug in skill element.
Why do you say this was not successful? Who decides this is not a game of chance?
No. It was a game of skill. And now, after that, trivia came in. But like, my vision was to take it to a very big stage, right? Like, imagine, like, World Cup is happening, and it was a very interesting game because females were not very, you know, involved in during cricket time, right? So, but housey bingo is something which is very much played in the female audience as well, right? So that's how like our wedge was to get more audience to the cricket game, and but the platform which we sold to, they did not like do it big time. We thought we'd launch our own platform, and then we will do it big time, right? But when we started Evor, we started with unique insights, and then when we kept on building, added more games, we learned a hell lot of things. Understood what exactly a gamer's mindset is in India, and with respect to real money gaming, we understood that poker, rummy,
Poker and rummy are games of skill or games of chance?
They are game of skill. So how do you decide game of skill and chance? That's a very important and a unique thing to learn, right? So if you put same guys and give them the same cards or same thing, like if there is exactly the same winners coming out of the game, it's a game of skill, right? So you would typically see in the tournaments those same guys repeating. Obviously, there will be a randomness of what cards you get, but how you play the cards and create those pairs and stuff like that brings in a real skill element there. and people would really, really wager a lot on these games. Fantasy Dream 11 became super, super big in the market, and they taught people that you can create a team of 11, and you know, very interesting stories which we learned from football fantasy, cricket fantasy, and then Ludo, which was again a very unique game in India. We did something revolutionizing there as well. So Ludo was a game with dice, right? A proper game of chance, right? Now we created a Ludo without a dice. Somebody would ask me what's, like you would ask me, right? How do you play Ludo without a dice, right? So we created a unique game where the moment game starts, you and me, if we are playing against each other, we get a sequence of numbers, let's say 30 numbers, 30 to you and 30 to me, right? We will just play 30 chance in the Ludo. We have those numbers to play. Now we are on the equal page, and I can see I will get 3 now, 4 next, 5 next, 6 next, 3 again. I can plan my moves, right? With which pawn in the game to move, right? And then every step you take with the pawn, you get 1 point. So it's a score driven Ludo where there is a unique way of skill added, and it became super, super popular. And now there are companies who are doing big time in Ludo, and very good learnings in eWorld days with respect to how to scale gaming platforms on, you know, in the Indian market, how to cater to tier two, tier three audiences. Very
reason why you call it a gaming platform? Did you release Ludo as a game or like
25 games on one app, right? Like 25 games on one app. You could put in money and then start playing any game, and you will find players to play with, right? So that's how basically gaming platform came in. But it's like interesting.
One question here, are you allowed by Google Play Store to publish real money gaming apps?
Only Fantasy and Rummy is allowed now. But if you put other games, you are not allowed. So we were typically operating as a APK. So you would typically download our app from the website.
Right. Which is extreme friction, right? Most Android phones.
It used to be, but yeah. Correct. Even now, it used to be, but it's more like people got accustomed. The real money gamers got accustomed to it because Dream 11, the largest player, taught people, right? That's how you do it. So that's how it's running.
So the market was already educated before you started. That helped.
Yeah. We were like the second, third player, maybe third player as a platform. But we really solved a lot for distribution in tier three. Like we had users from like cities like, you know, Ghaziabad, Meerut and Indore, like users coming from all over the country and low end devices.
I think people in Indore will object to being called tier three.
No, they would like not. Yeah. I'm not like categorizing them, but
yeah. I'm just Meerut, pulling your leg.
Yeah. Indore would be what, tier two, yeah. Right? Yeah. I'm saying like tier one, tier two, tier three. All these would be a mix. And
how did you onboard users from like, you know, beyond metros?
I can tell you like these. And they were using devices which were like damn low-end devices, like all these, you know, Chinese phones, $4,000, $5,000, which you buy a smartphone with. And it was a great success for India market. Like gaming took off because of these two reasons, right? Like internet became super cheap with Jio and mobile phones became super cheap. And mobile games came out to be very interesting play. Like before 2016, everybody was talking PC games, and that's why the gaming industry was not flying that high, right? And we used to like pick hold of these YouTubers, create communities. Again, community is a very big angle and wedge to grow your business in gaming, and referrals, people would refer each other, bring them to the platform, right? So these things, and through the games, we had to really focus on how to make the game playable on very low end devices, very low bandwidth internets, right? Some villages also, like people were having like 3G, not even 4G back then, right? 2G also people used to play games. So we would test our games on low bandwidth, that when exactly is the game breaking, right? To make it possible that everybody is able to play seamlessly. And there was money involved. So a lot of security has to be added in the platform as well, because you know how it is, right? Like people, if there's money involved, people will, you know, look for opportunities to kind of, pull out the extra cash from the system.
Yeah, to game. Game the platform.
Exactly. So this is how, these are certain learnings. And interestingly, like, look at how distribution happened for EVOR as well through YouTubers and gamers is something which we really learned. And we felt that community fandom and socializing over games is a big wedge to build on. And that's how Stan got, you know, created.
But why not continue in the real money gaming category? That is a big category.
There were two reasons. We were
multiple unicorns.
Yeah, but regulatory hurdles were coming our way. We were slightly aware of this GST issue which government was putting. Like, now it's live with the 28% GST.
Somebody and from what is the GST issue for people who don't know what it is?
So it is basically, let's say if somebody puts in 100 rupees to play in, let's say, a platform, they would have to, the platform has to pay 28% to government on that 100 rupees, right? On the
so
deposits.
The person is only left with like that 72 rupees to play with.
So it's a big hit for the gamer. Now, some big players are ready to absorb their hit on their own in their margins. But almost a lot of new players or, budding players were not ready to kind of financially cater to and, you know, absorb all those hits, right? Because some people were actually operating at, 10-15% margins. Now, if you add a 28% GST, it would, like, hamper, like, things mad, right? So that is the big reason we also sort of took this, step that we need to move to building something which is proper business, which works well, builds on scale. And I was seeing this era of gaming where people wanted to play with each other and play with their favorite YouTuber, right? And a lot of content creators were, coming up. So creator economy is something which I feel that is not solved yet. Like if you meet anybody today, like 10 people, out of them at least 7 wants to become creator, right? Running a podcast is obviously also a creator sort of approach. It could be YouTuber, it could be influencer on Instagram. So we saw there's a very, very big wave of creators come up, and lot of them try their hands on gaming because they know consumption of gaming is high, right? You would see non-gaming creators like playing games on their videos and streams because they know that this video will work, go to the masses because gaming ka consumption zyada hai, right? So, but how to solve for monetization, how to get these guys to make money out of it? So I think this problem statement came out very exciting, and that's how Stan got born, and we, you know, moved ahead from EVOR to Stan, right? And it's a very
EVOR was profitable. I assume real money gaming as a business is
it was like unit economics positive. Like on the platform level, we were positive, but as a company, we were making loss that time
because marketing spend.
We were growing, and in gaming, it's like, you need to amplify things when it's working for you, right? You need to get as many users as possible so that the numbers go up, and then you typically then turn it into a profit business. So we were doing unit economics wise positive on the platform.
And how much revenue were you doing when you shut it down?
We were doing like close to $1 million GMV per month, which is about 7-8 crores in GMV. So, and our take rates were close to like 10-12%. So net 1-2 crore is what our revenues were in a month that time.
Amazing. Which is like a phenomenally big business to shut down. How did you?
I mean, we had to take a call. We had to like liquidate. We started selling the games. We sold the platform. It is a big decision, but obviously, we as founders had to take a call with how to, you know, move forward with it. We had raised some capital from, VCs, and you don't turn
you don't make it a small entity to make small business, right? You're building a business for masses, and you have to build, like, we're always excited about the scale and growth. And Stan is something which came up to me as a, you know, a serendipity, and like the guys who are with me in the journey, they were very excited about Stan. So it happened. And then I felt that this idea is, a new generation thing, and this is going to take us to the global market, and this does not have that RMG angle to it, right? So a lot of reasons where it helped us take the decision.
So the idea for Stan came first, or the decision to exit EVOR came first?
The decision to exit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm still... I want to kind of learn from you how you take that call to exit a business which is at a $10-12 million annual GMV.
I mean, you're burning money, right? Either you get more people to put in money. So it was getting difficult to raise capital, right? So
okay.
It's like...
And the investors were telling you that there is a regulatory overhang in this sector. That's why
we were educating the investors. Investors actually don't have the in-depth knowledge of categories, because they are actually like investing in various categories, right? So we had a lot of discussions, and then we took a call. I mean, it was a mutual understanding. We had a lot of strategic interest to acquire the business as well. One of the leading fantasy player gave us a very good offer, but things went south, and we couldn't move forward. And we had, but very interesting insights, because everybody who comes to acquires tries to maximize their output as compared to the other person's, right? So I would say phrases like that, and getting locked in for 5 years. Yeah, getting locked in for many years, and so on and so forth, right? So there was like a lot of shifts, and then I think the regulatory hurdles were on the way. I think if somebody would have acquired us, also would have, felt later that why did we do this? Because the 28% GST thing was very, very big. It has impacted a lot of companies now. A lot of companies have shut down in real money gaming. I started looking at the esports market, how these gaming and socializing happen. And Discord is a big product. It's a successful product in the Western market, and India is on a declining trend due to various reasons, that it doesn't have anything apart from chatting and creating a community, and it's super complicated. It's not so much handy or localized or bespoke for Indian or emerging market, right? I'm sure that's why you also don't use Discord, right? A lot of people have that friction with using Discord. So we felt that there is an interesting opportunity here, and gamers is something which we really understand. We understand how, because we've been the gamers. I've like played games, and myself looked at India market, and now I think we have really cracked something here, because we have organically reached 3 million gamers. We are trending on like number 4 on the Play Store. We have we're doing a decent business as well, and now we are really moving fast, getting to as many gamers as possible and becoming the go-to platform for gamers in India, right?
Okay, interesting. So the entity remains the same for Ewards
and
Stan?
It's a new
you shut that down
altogether.
Okay, you started a new company with a new cap table and a new set of investors.
Yeah.
So, the fact that you had to shut down your last company, did it make fundraise difficult?
No, I mean, there was a decent learnings we had. We were very solid executioners, and building a business is not like, everything is going to work out for you, right? And not every time it, hits the board, right? And investors really value that, because... and second-time founders, I think there's a lot more maturity. When I remember myself in EVOR days, I was a very different person as compared to now. I'm much more calm, mature in my decision. There's a lot of data-driven analysis which we do. There's a lot of hurt feelings which work now because we connect the dots backwards and remember ki tab kya ho raha tha ab kya ho raha hai, right? So yeah. I think businesses are like that. Like, I come from a business family background, so my parents have been into business from my grandfather days, and I could really, you know, put analogies in place ki wo log kaise sochte hain, or because we put this fancy word startup and VCs and investors, but net it's like you're building a true dhanda. You're going behind the market share. Like, there's a market, either you're creating the pie or you are getting the share of the pie, right? So like, to your question, I think investors are really, you know, interesting bunch of people who really understand you, who actually help you get some answers to the questions. So I have really good partners in Stan right now. There's General Catalyst from the US. There's Better Capital. There's a like really amazing bunch of people who have, you know, sort of partnered with us in this journey. So yeah, overall, I think the vibe has been pretty good.
Okay, interesting. How much have you raised for Stan?
So we had raised at 2.5 million last year as a seed round. And that's when these names which I mentioned came in. And very soon we are going to announce our next raise.
You're planning to do another fundraise. What do you need funds for? What do you want to use them for?
I mean, it's till date, we have been very organically growing. And we do have a product market fit now. We are making money. We have good retentions, which we are seeing in the product. I think it's the right time to scale the business and like get more users in. So marketing is definitely one place where we are going to spend hiring the more good like talent. We have an amazing team, like very fortunate to have these rock stars with me, like 30 people sitting in Bangalore, and everybody's like giving their best. So want to add a couple more guys who are really, you know, want to create an impact with Stan. So hiring and product and marketing, I think pretty standard places where we're going to spend the fund.
How will you do your customer acquisition once you have funds? What's the strategy you've thought out?
Well, there are various. I mean, there's some standard ways. There are some unconventional ways. Standard is typically those Instagram ads, performance marketing, and unconventional is basically creating those GTMs, like you know, partnering with tournaments and esports, getting more creators, and then getting to more communities in Discord, Telegram, wherever these gamers exist, right? And media buying. I think a good mix of all of these, and whatever works, you amplify that and just keep scaling it, right? I think that's the way you scale it, right?
So these tournaments are... So there are startups which are into this tournament space, right? Like, I think Router, Loco, these are...
They are more like streaming platforms. So they are...
Okay.
They are competing with YouTube, right?
Okay.
They're not doing what Stan is doing. Like, we are not building another YouTube.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's hard to compete against YouTube, undoubtedly. Is there a startup which is in this tournament space or... Or is it largely unorganized?
It is very unorganized. There's a lot of WhatsApp groups which are running. So that is one big advantage where we are sort of, you know, looking at it.
So this could be another space for you to get into, like in terms of tournaments.
It's already running on the platform. So like the right go-to-market strategies are this only, like partnerships, adding these games which are working, which games have community, adding more creators, getting more long, you know, that long tail of budding creators. Like, we have just started a Stan Creator Partner Program where people have applied. There's like 700 applications we have received. So we did Stan Fan Fest last year in Hyderabad. We had 35,000 IRL people attend in 3 days. That was very, very successful, huge event for us. Because we had like top 70 gaming creators come in one place, our users, the fans, they came in, attended that event. They got exclusive meet and greets, and just like how YouTube Fan Fest used to happen, but Stan Fan Fest is like beyond that in terms of gaming itself. So a huge success. So a lot of creators reached out to us. So this time we did a Stan Creator Fest in, you know, in 2023 in Hyderabad again. And we had it, we had like close to like 150 plus creators in one place. And then we opened up for all the budding creators. We made creators talk to each other, what is working, what is not working, sort of educating that. So I think these are the GTMs which are really working for us, and we would double down on these. Stan FanFest 2 is what is coming up in 2024, where we do a much larger IP. A lot of brands are excited to partner up with their with this IP for with us, because the right gaming TG comes to attend those that event, right? So yeah, I think these are some unconventional ways where Stan is kind of, you know, creating an impact and acquiring our users.
Do you think earning from advertising dollars is another revenue source for you?
Absolutely, absolutely. Why not? Like, we have a platform.
How would that happen?
We have a platform, so we could immediately start ads. We could promote other games. We've experimented a little bit on that as well, and it's coming out really interesting. But we would be selective about which brands, because the conversion should be higher. The audience should like what we are promoting, I think. But yes, advertising dollars would also be a way to sort of, you know, build revenues.
Monetize. Okay. Okay. Interesting. Interesting. In a way, one could say that Stan is like the OnlyFans for gaming content creators.
Apart from all the nudity and the negative.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know how, I mean,
it's
OnlyFans.
Cleaner OnlyFans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, OnlyFans is essentially relying on the creators to promote the platform. Like, all the creators promote it, and therefore everybody knows of it. And so in the similar way, you also want creators to come on the platform, and they will promote it because it's their self-interest. Like, they would tell their community that follow me on Stan.
Correct.
Or join my exclusive club on Stan and things like that.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Okay, cool. So my last question to you, what's your advice for young aspiring founders?
Oh, it's been like super exciting 6 years odd as an entrepreneur. I have always, you know, looked at the fundamentals of business to be priority one, I think. And that has helped me a lot. Data-driven decisions, looking at the data, understanding, how the business is going, what is working, what's not working is very important. And obviously, there are a lot of gut feelings which come your way. Network is very important. So build a good network. I think it has helped us a lot, helped me personally. And work on something which helps you stay, sane, because business turns you insane in a lot of ways. So, like, I work out, I tend to do certain things which help me in the parallel world of my personal life, because the right physical, mental health and physical health sort of helps a lot as founders to grow. I think that's something which has come a long way with me. And what else? Yeah, I think these are certain things which I really feel some, like, people lack. I also, was missing out on these fronts, when I started. So if somebody would have actually told me, and be patient and not be harsh on yourself. I have been very harsh when I started as an entrepreneur, like crushing it every day and night, like not letting myself sleep. Ki kuch banana hai, kuch karna hai. But that's just pure amateur or early days of entrepreneurship, right? So I think these are the things which, if somebody would have sat with me and told me that take it easy, understand the right things, do the right, take the decisions in a manner, build your network. I think these are certain 4-5 points which have, helped us a lot.
I'm a bit surprised that you spoke of networking, because your products are built for viral growth, right? With that kind of approach is typically the approach of someone who is more of an introvert, who likes to create products which sell themselves rather than the person having.
It's a mix of both. Product speaks for itself, as well as the product which speaks for itself will reach that point through all the extrovert activities. Because being an extrovert, being a socializer gets you the right team, gets you the right funds. I think then you reach the right product. I think that's been my
interesting
learning.
Interesting. Right? Okay. Because so networking helped you in fundraising, hiring.
That's me. Obviously, it could be very different for others. Like, I don't know what Zuckerberg's life has been, but from the movie and everything, we know that he himself sat and coded and it became viral. But in our case, that's not the thing. Like, you get the right people to work with you. You get the and join you with your vision and mission, right? And that's a big way to sort of, like, if you're a socializer, if you're a talker, if you are a good salesperson, because founders have to be sales guys every day, right? So that gets you to the right product, which speaks for itself.
And that brings us to the end of this conversation. I want to ask you for a favor now. Did you like listening to this show? I'd love to hear your feedback about it. Do you have your own startup ideas? I'd love to hear them. Do you have questions for any of the guests that you heard about in this show? I'd love to get your questions and pass them on to the guests. Write to me at ad@thepodium.in. That's ad@thepodium.in.